Eastern Europe is somewhat of an example. But the policy of the Russian Tsar, he didn't want the Jews in Russia, just as the Russian government today does not know what to do with the Jews. On one hand, they don't want them to be Jewish. On the other hand, they mark in their passports that they are Jewish. They don't want them to leave. On the other hand, they don't want them to stay. They don't know what to do with them. It's a bone in their throat, which they cannot spit out, nor are they willing to swallow. But in any country in the world, where Jews were afforded equal rights, the opportunities for advancement, then the process of assimilation was present. In Babylonia, there was no assimilation because of the fact that the Babylonians were basically Zoroastrians, and the religion, the paganism of the Zoroastrians had no appeal to the Jews, and they didn't like the Jews either. The Muslims in Baghdad, the Muslims in Babylonia, took Islam very seriously. The caliphate was for many, many centuries in Baghdad, the head of the Muslim religion. And therefore, the Jews were always looked at as non-believers, as infidels, as a people to be tolerated, but certainly, if the Jews weren't willing to convert, they were not willing to give the Jews any rights, any special rights. That was not true of the Moors, who lived in North Africa and in Spain, who, even though they were Muslim, were not really devoted exclusively to Islam. They took it with a grain of salt. They were very pragmatic. And because of that, if they wanted to have doctors, poets, advisors, philosophers, they had no objection to those people being Jews. And they had no objection to employing them and to using their skills and services. And therefore, it's not like equal rights that we have in the United States today. I mean, that's a concept that didn't exist in the 10th and 11th centuries. But in their time, it is equal to the same type of rights that we enjoy in the United States today. It's parallel, even though it's not exactly the same. And therefore, the opportunity for Jews was enormous. It was the only place in the world where there was such an opportunity for Jews. And within 55, 60 years of the arrival of the Jews in strength, the Prime Minister of Spain was Jewish. Not only Jewish, he was a rabbi. He was a con. Would be like Ramesha Feinstein would have Weinberger's job today. Can you imagine? It's hard for us to imagine. But that was the situation in Spanish Jewry, even at the time of the Inquisition, when Don Isaac Abarbanel was the Secretary of Treasury and a full general in King Ferdinand's court. And that's the Abarbanel that wrote the Perish, the Chumash, and one of the greatest philosophers, and is quoted a Talmudic scholar and a great and pious and noble Jew. So to us it's unthinkable, especially when in the rest of Europe a Jew couldn't walk on he couldn't walk on the same side of the street as a Christian. But in Spain it was an open world. It was a place where almost merit was the only thing that counted. I say almost. I mean, Maimonides was the doctor for the Sultan of Egypt. There was no Jewish doctor at all in Ashkenazic and Christian Europe. And Jews that practiced medicine were liable to be burned at the stake for witchcraft.